I'm ready. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
And we're live from Piney Ridge Church.
We're live, but they're not going to hear this live.
I'm not going to hear this live.
It's recorded.
You're going to hear this.
That would be really scary if they heard this live, because there would be no editing.
In a while.
And they would know exactly what goes on behind closed doors.
That would be scary.
So.
We might have
We're live.
Empty auditorium on
Sunday. You
know
what? The people who are listening are going to be alive, just like we are. So.
We are alive from Piney Ridge Church.
Alive in the spirit.
So welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast. This should be like episode 5. And today we're going to talk about Lent, and not the kind you find in your dryer.
Or in your
navel cavity.
Indeed.
U.S. navel cavity.
So Lent. So when I was growing up, I would hear people talk about Lent, but it was always a Catholic thing. I had a lot of Catholic friends, and they would ask me what I was going to give up for Lent, and I'm going to give up Lent for Lent. And I never really knew quite what they were talking about. Now, last year, we more formally, I don't know if we should say we observed Lent, but we had some teaching. We had a series on Lent leading up to Easter. So what is Lent, first of all, and why is it something that we would focus on or even talk about in this podcast?
What is Lent, Nathan?
Well, Jason, I am going to plagiarize you.
Oh, do so.
Jason put together a Google Doc last year. Did you ever post this? Like, as a blog post? You don't know what I'm looking at, do you?
No, I don't.
Questions about Lent.
It is on the Piney Ridge website right now as we speak.
Oh, excellent.
It is live.
Excellent.
Both as we're talking and as we're hearing, hopefully.
I could just pause and let people go there while they're listening, and then they don't have to listen to me read it.
Okay, pause.
I'll read. Okay. First question here on this document. What is Lent? Lent is the 40-day season of reflecting and refocusing on the suffering and sacrifice of Christ, leading up to and preparing for the celebration of Christ's glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. So the 40-day season of reflecting and refocusing on the suffering and sacrifice of Christ. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, is a very good answer to the question. What
very
is Lent?
Good. Yeah. So I think a lot of our people are familiar with Advent leading up to Christmas, because we've even this past year had a special focus on Advent in December. So what are some similarities between Advent leading up to Christmas and Lent leading up to Easter?
Yeah, growing up, I did not celebrate or observe either Advent or Lent. I thought both of them were just Roman Catholic things and didn't really understand much about them. So over the past few years, being able to study more and see some of the benefit of them, I think there's definitely some wrong ways you can observe them, just like you can observe nearly or anything wrongly.
Yeah.
With the wrong attitude, wrong heart, wrong focus, for the wrong reasons, and in the wrong ways. But for me, I don't remember your question.
Similarities between Lent
similarities
and Advent.
Between the two. Yeah, I think that I both thought they were Catholic when I was growing up, but I realized that that Roman Catholicism does not have a monopoly on Advent and Lent.
They
sure don't have a monopoly on it. They have not put hotels up. You can pass by that way. So I think that they're both preparatory. They both are somewhat they're preparatory for really celebratory events that we are recognizing and remembering, the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. It's kind of like a rebirth in a sense. And so they're very similar in that sense. And they're both kind of help you to feel the darkness and the weight of longing for those days leading up to. And so they help you to enjoy the light by reminding you of the darkness and not just of the darkness without, but also within, in your own hearts of sin. And so, yeah, I think that the culmination of Lent is probably Good Friday and in the Saturday after, so sometimes termed a Silent Saturday, but that the, you know, the the climax of all of that after is, of course, Easter Resurrection Sunday. So, and just like, that's one difference, I guess, maybe, between Lent and Advent, is that Advent doesn't, it just leads up straight till, you know, the birth of Christ. And it seems like the light is getting lighter and lighter and lighter as we light a candle each Advent Sunday. And it's, the day is dawning, the firm return. I know you didn't ask for contrast. You said similarities.
No, but that's good.
Okay. And the other maybe difference or contrast would be between Advent and Lent is that in Advent, Jesus came once, one Advent, and he will have a second Advent. There will not be a second resurrection for Jesus. He rose from the dead never to die again. He has mastery over death. And so there will never be another Easter. There will be a second Advent, and that will be more glorious than both the first Advent and the first Easter combined. Mm. So, but both the second Advent needs both of those in order to happen.
Yeah. So you hear people talking about practicing Lent or observing Lent. And so what are some of the essential elements of observing Lent for people?
It's just practice. It's a game.
Practice.
Talking about practice?
Practicing Lent.
About practice. I'm practice.
I'm going to observe it. I'm going to watch Lent.
Let's talk about the game of Lent.
Essential elements, did you say?
Yeah.
Well, I guess in one way, there aren't any required. There may be in Roman Catholicism. I don't know. Maybe
required
there are
reading
required
practices.
Elements. You must, if you're going to faithfully observe Lent, you must do it this way. Yeah, read these things, say these prayers.
Like, for instance, we don't put the ash cross on our forehead on Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
We don't believe it's required to really get benefit from Lent.
Yeah. Yeah, so as far as essential, I think that there's a lot of, it's not even a required time of observance. It's not something that Christ said, you must do this, or the apostles said, this is something that you must do. It's one of those things that there's freedom in. Yes,
but,
Jason?
But the focus of Lent is required for Christians to
observe.
We should be reflecting and refocusing ourselves daily on the suffering and sacrifice of Christ and all that means for
right.
us. And so that's why Lent itself is, you know, why would we even do it then if it's not required? And well, because it's beneficial.
Right.
I'm kicking my microphone stand.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one of those just helpful kind of applications of scripture that is not required, but it's a good idea. And it maybe parallel would be we strongly encourage accountability relationships at Piney Ridge between, you know, a man being accountable with another man, woman, with another woman. But that is really just an outworking of the command in Scripture to confess your sins to one another. It's not
specifically and to exhort and
committed.
Encourage one another.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pray for one another.
Yeah. So anyway, the particular observances of Lent aren't required, but some that have been beneficial and proven beneficial for centuries in the church are
worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. Fasting has always been a part of Lenten observances, partly because if we're remembering Christ's suffering, part of his suffering was his suffering in the desert when he fasted for 40 days and was tempted. And so we are remembering that, but also remembering that Christ's entire ministry on earth was a time of suffering because he laid aside the perfect bliss and peace of heaven and came here. And so his life here was a life of suffering and of laying aside, suffering through a form of fasting, laying aside the joy and the immediate fellowship with God and the peace of heaven for the sin and the darkness of the world. And so fasting is something that has been helpful in remembering Christ's suffering. And that can be the most strict definition of fasting, which is fasting from food for a period of time or certain foods. That's helpful for a lot of people.
Real quick.
Yeah.
How I'm A, thinking about this earlier today, and B, I think it would be helpful to explain why fasting is beneficial, because it can sound like maybe to some asceticism, just you know, let's just do without, and that's more spiritual. Well, that's not necessarily more spiritual.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm going to go and walk on my, you know, hands and knees everywhere outside just so I can feel bad about my sin. Well, actually, you're denying the fact that Jesus took care of your sin, and he cleansed you perfectly, and you don't need to bear that guilt and shame anymore. So trust in Christ. Don't try to pay penance. So it's not penance, and it's not asceticism just to make yourself feel bad or to take pain, the end. And even in, I think it's in the book of Colossians, it says, Paul says that asceticism has no power to change our hearts, no power to change our soul and to really make one righteous. So in what ways is fasting beneficial, and maybe how could it be taken wrongly, do you think?
When I'm fasting, I mean, just being honest, I have to really stop and think continuously about why I'm doing it. That this
otherwise
isn't,
it loses its meaning.
Exactly. That I'm denying myself. I'm trying to teach myself that Christ is enough. That he's more valuable than food. He's my greatest treasure. Yeah. And if I'm fasting and I'm not constantly reminding myself of that, it does become just a very religious thing for me.
Right.
And
religious as in like a dead ritual.
Just a dead ritual, yeah. Having no meaning. That I'm supposed to do this. I'm compelled to do it for religious reasons.
So that doesn't really help you, and it doesn't really please God. It's
right.
Like, well, what am I doing? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But when we do, when we are fasting, and we are constantly reminding ourselves of that, and even saturating ourselves with Scripture during that time, I think there's great benefit, because it's an emotional and it's also a very physical reminder that Christ is our greatest treasure.
Yeah, whether it's, you know, food of physically giving up food and you feel the hunger pains, or it's something you regularly do and enjoy so that you actually do feel some pain with it from it, can be a helpful reminder of the, on the one side, maybe the grip that the world has on us that we don't realize, and leading us to repent more of that. And the other part of that maybe is it's not wrong to have food, or not like a, to be hungry is not sinful. So sometimes that can remind you just of, I should hunger for Christ more. Like, he's better. I should, my heart, you're preaching to your soul, want him more, because he is more valuable. He is what you need more even than physical food. Or if you're giving up Facebook, or you're giving up, you know, whatever it is, you're saying, I'm giving this up because I want to teach myself. But Paul talks about beating his body into submission, putting it under the lordship of Christ. He is supreme. He is most valuable. And so you have to do that intentionally. There is no benefit of having a haphazard or accidental kind of fast. It doesn't really work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would be a sinful or unhealthy, wrong way to view fasting?
I think I said it a minute ago. If we are doing it to somehow earn favor with God, that could be wrong.
Like God's impressed with you.
Yeah. Like
Or you can manipulate him from it.
Trying to manipulate him. Yeah. I'm wanting God to, you know, often people will fast when they are praying for something in particular, whether it's healing or provision of some kind. And if we think that somehow fasting is going to get God's attention, just to remind him that we're here and we're praying and asking for this, or we're gonna win his favor or try to convince him to answer our prayer in a certain way, then I think our motives are wrong.
Yeah, it's not to get God's heart for us. Jesus did that.
Right.
Fasting is to get our heart more focused on God.
Yeah, it's a great way of saying
it. Yeah, exactly. I've heard people say about things like Lent or Advent or even Easter and Christmas that I really don't want to make a big deal of those seasons or those holidays, because I should be thinking about the resurrection every day. Every Sunday should be Easter Sunday. Every day of the year should be Christmas, because I'm celebrating the birth of Christ. And so what is the advantage? What are the benefits of taking a season out of the year in our church calendar and focusing on something like Lent, or even celebrating an Easter Sunday as a church?
Yeah. Well, my kids would be all for having Christmas every day of the year. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think a benefit of it is that maybe this would be more of a kind of justification for doing it biblically. It's something that observing certain times and having particular seasons set aside for remembering the work of God is something that God commanded really very early on. But I'm thinking especially of in Exodus, mm-hmm. people are getting ready to go out from the land, and the Lord establishes the Passover feast, and he says, do this every year so that, and your sons will ask you, why are you doing this? And you'll tell them, because the Lord rescued us out of the hand of slavery. And so he didn't say, he didn't say either observe Passover every day, or, and he didn't say, you don't need to observe up this meal, just remember it every day. But God recognized the way that we are created. I think it's part of the way that we're created to have certain rhythms. Mm-hmm. You know, we live within a 24-hour day, 7-day week, 365 yeah. days a year. And so we're just kind of, that's how God has made us, to live within time. And so to have those kind of rhythms, I think is something that God has put in us, and he established it for his people early on.
And we're forgetful. He knows we're forgetful, and so it's a reminder for us. It's a teaching tool for our children and the next generation, and on and on.
Yeah,
yeah. And yeah. How many other people saw Israel traveling, maybe to go into the into Jerusalem for a great feast,
uh-huh.
and it was a witnessing tool in a sense, even.
Yeah,
Jesus has us do communion, the Lord's Supper is a very similar thing.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's good for us, and it's good for.
Yeah, he says, do this in remembrance of me, not, hey, just remember me, because you should, but he established something for us to do regularly to remember him in a unique and special way. And I think that that's, I don't know if it's because we're, if it's just an aspect of our fallenness or if it's more of an aspect of our creatureliness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. we're not omniscient. We can't know all things at all times. We have a very finite amount of information that we can process through our little brains at one point in time, and emotionally we can't feel everything that we should feel about Christ all the time. And so I think that he has established these times, and then the church, looking at what God established for his people over time, the church established some traditions that can be helpful for the church kind of in keeping with what God had established in the Old Testament and what Christ established with, like, the Lord's Supper. But it is important to remember that they're not required. So it is possible that for someone in a season or a family or even maybe a church, it would be better not to observe Christmas if it was so, if it was the case that really there was no observance of Christ in a family for the whole year, and then one day there's the mention. It's kind of like just taking his name in vain, throwing right. out the name Christ because it's involved with Christmas, but really no submission to him or a real celebration of him throughout the rest of the year. So then maybe those religious days, you know, those special days are actually more harmful.
Well, because God himself even said to his people, you know, you're offering these sacrifices, you're keeping these yeah. festivals. He says, and I want nothing of it because yeah. your hearts are far from me
yeah.
and you're not obeying me. You're not seeking me. You're not trusting me. You're just showing kind of lip service to me, and it doesn't honor me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have a tendency, I think, to take seasons and celebrations and traditions and make that the substance of our faith or part of the substance of our faith rather than something that is a reminder or something that points to
yeah.
right.
The true substance of our faith.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So to sum up, though, real quick, what Nathan said, if you don't celebrate Lent, you're not a Christian. Is that what you heard?
I'm glad I communicated so very clearly.
Yes.
Yes. So on that note, so we are coming up, what, we're 2 weeks away?
From what?
From, let's see.
2 weeks away from
Easter?
No, Easter. Today is the...
It's like the 16th, so it's like we're like 3.5 weeks, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
We're 3.5 weeks from
well,
Easter.
Lent is
so
40
we are,
days,
it's the 40 days
14
prior.
14 days into it.
So
yeah.
So do that, Steve,
math,
when you need.
But, yeah.
Edit. So we're about 2 weeks into Lent.
All throughout our podcast, whenever someone says something stupid or just has some really awkwardness, we just draw edit. Just so you know when to start edit. Edit. Yeah.
So we're about 2 weeks into the Lenten season. So like I said, last year we had a special focus on Lent leading up to Easter, and this year we haven't. So what are some practical things we can give our people? What are some things that they can be doing during Lent to point them to Christ, to serve as reminders? And just very practically speaking for our people, what do we hope happens in their lives as a result of those things?
Well, the blog post, it's on pineyridgechurch.org. That website, there is that blog post on Lent, 40 days of Lent. There is 4,000 questions for Lent on there. There's just some questions, but there are like 10 practical things you can do on there. So I would encourage people maybe to use that if they're wanting practical things to do. But I would say, you know, other than fasting, like Nathan mentioned, make it a time where you are, as an individual or as families or both, trying to remember and think more deeply than you have before about the suffering of Christ. Hmm. What did he undergo? Not just physically, but also physically.
Yeah.
But try to put your self back in time for a moment, just to have a sense of what he was going through, what he experienced, and remembering all the while that he did it willingly and why he did it. Hmm. And such that it will humble you. It will cause your heart to, and this is our desire, hope, is that it would humble people, that humble us, lead our hearts to love Jesus more and to worship him more fully. And I think that it's one of those things where if you're not intentionally consciously thinking about it, you it loses its wonder and its power and depth.
Yeah.
And all of it, really, I think for me, Lent is a time where I remind myself, and continually do so in maybe a greater way, how much I need God, how much I need the sacrifice of Christ. And so in that, it's a lot of looking at my not just creatureliness and humanity, but also my sinfulness. Hmm. So I would encourage whatever leads you to that.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And as you were saying that, I was thinking about how, because it is such a struggle for the different ways of observing Lent to continue to have their meaning and to not become what you're saying, Brian, just kind of ritualistic. I'm doing this because I only have 2 weeks left and I want to stick it out to the end.
Right.
Because it's such a struggle, I think what we can tend to do is feel the struggle, go for a couple of days where we're fasting, but it's like all this is doing is giving me headaches and making me crabby with my kids. And yeah, I can't focus as well at work. So, and why am I doing this? I'm skipping lunch, but I'm not taking that time to pray. So it's not benefiting me there, like not seeing any kind of immediate connecting. This is helping me in this way because it's allowing me to do this. The temptation then is just to say, okay, this is empty. It's meaningless. I'm just going to give it up, rather than pushing through, fighting harder, praying harder, which all of the observances of Lent, I think, should drive us to pray more, because they are hard. And Christ's hard life, his suffering, led him to pray all the time to his Father. And so my encouragement would be to not give up just because you've recognized that something does feel empty or ritualistic, but to pray that God would make it more than that, that he would make it rich and full of meaning and give us the endurance to continue on in it, rather than just giving up because it's hard.
Well, and if you say, I've actually heard people say, I don't really fast because every time I do, I get cranky and it just makes me sin. No, yeah. It reveals that you are a sinner.
Right.
And
right.
So it's not that it's like that created sin in you. It revealed what was there. And so use this time as a way to humble yourself or repent through it. And I think leading us to pray and leading us to Christ more and more is the heart and focus of Lent.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.